This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
Despite a really bad flu virus, despite the fact that they were in the midst of a losing streak, the Baltimore Orioles managed to rack up a few wins this week. Five in a row, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I mean, after overcoming the flu-ridden four-game series against the New York Yankees in New York, they come back to Baltimore, and they were set to take on the AL Central leading Cleveland Indians, the best AL record team in baseball right there, or I guess best team with a record in the American League, I guess you could say. Well, not anymore in this case.
No, it wouldn't be. And then the Orioles managed to sweep them, and that was something that was key and huge. I mentioned last week how that is a big series because they are the best team. They are the hottest team in the American League. You come in, and then you are able to sweep them and beat them pretty convincingly. It was quite a sight to behold for the Baltimore Orioles. Way to salvage their downward spiral that they had. Chris Tillman once again proving that he's the stopper. And both yeah. ways than one, because he began the winning streak and he also ended the winning streak on Tuesday night as he got his third loss on Tuesday against the Colorado Rockies. It was not exactly to behold for one Chris Tillman, but there was some magic this past week for the Baltimore Orioles, because beating the Cleveland Indians, the hottest team in the American League, they are now just behind the Chicago Cubs for best record in the majors, as you were trying to say. And now with that, they had a sizable lead against the Boston Red Sox. They overcame their deficit against them because they were passed last week by the Boston Red Sox, and it seemed like, okay, the Red Sox were going to hold this lead forever for the rest of the season. Hold on 1 second, because they lose a few games, the Orioles win five in a row, and then they gain a 2.5-game lead over the Sox. So still, the division is up for grabs, and the Baltimore Orioles are still in prime position to take it.
You are absolutely correct on that. I mean, for example, that 3 out of 4 game losing series against the New York Yankees have propelled the New York Yankees into the division discussion. They're only 7 games back of the AL East lead. They're 51-48. Then you had the Toronto Blue Jays, 56-44, 2.5 games back. We'll be talking about them in just a bit concerning a trade that the Baltimore Orioles almost made with the Padres. And then, of course, you have the Boston Red Sox, as of this podcast, at 9:57 p.m. Eastern time, 55-42, 2 games back of the AL East leading Baltimore Orioles, who are 17 games over 500 with a 58-41 record. Now, big trade talks were going on this past week for the Baltimore Orioles. You had the likes of, Jeremy Hellickson, who could have been the fifth starter for the Baltimore Orioles, or is still in discussions, possibly, of being an outside shot as far as getting that late rotation starter is concerned. And then you had the talk swirling around trading Ubaldo Jimenez for Melvin Upton Jr. from the San Diego Padres. And lo and behold, unfortunately for the Orioles, it did not happen, and Melvin Upton Jr. ended up going to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Wow, that would have been something to that would have been a shock. That could have been Mil Pappas for
Frank Robinson.
Yeah, that could have been that style of a trade, because you're thinking to yourself, well, why would you want Ubaldo Jimenez, a guy like that who's been in a downward spiral for the longest part of a couple seasons and still was able to keep his stock up somewhat? But when you hear the words trade Ubaldo Jimenez, the Orioles are going to be like, yeah, sign me up. Where do I sign? Oh, wait, just traded in the Blue Jays. Oh, darn it.
I guess it comes from the National League perspective that San Diego is looking at, saying, well, you know, Bud Norris and Tommy Hunter and Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop have all left the Orioles and went to the National League and have had some success, whether it was short-term or long-term. So they're thinking, maybe we could do something with this $15 million a year pitcher that the Orioles have. Maybe we could make him a long reliever that we need to get our record back up to 500.
It was in the National League that he won a Cy Young just 6 years ago. Am I right?
Yeah, a little bit a ways away there.
Yeah, 6 years just seems like a long time ago, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, it was 2010, and I do remember when this decade first began, and it seems like it was only yesterday, 6 years ago, and yet Ubaldo Jimenez has now aged to the point where he's no longer that Cy Young pitcher, and it's now 2016, Josh. the Orioles. The Orioles had a losing record by the time Ubaldo Jimenez had his Cy Young run in the National League. So that's how long ago that was. And now that they're looking to trade him and ship him off, I mean, yeah, maybe he could find renewed success in the National League. He would probably love to go back to the National League right now and not pitch in Oriole Park at Camden Yards, which is a launch pad.
Yeah, and finding some success are the Baltimore Orioles, who have won 5 of their last 7 games, dating back to last week. Of course, looking at the scores real quick, Monday, July 18th through Wednesday, July 20th, the Orioles lose the first 3 games, 2-1, 7-1, and 5-0 against the New York Yankees. But Thursday, July 21st, the stopper, Chris Tillman, got the win for the Orioles as they won 4-1 against the Yankees. Tillman improving to 14-2. Sabathia, the loser, at 5-8. Zach Britton getting his 30th save of the season. Now we move to Friday, July 22nd, and this is where we were talking about last week on the free-for-all, where the pitching matchups, the probables, as the experts would call it, looked off balance for the Baltimore Orioles taking on the Indians. But lo and behold, the Orioles had held up their end of the bargain. In the first game on Friday, July 22nd, Orioles won 5-1. Dylan Bundy was your winner, improving at 3-2. Bauer, the loser, at 7-4. Britton collecting his 31st save of the season, his second consecutive save in a row. Saturday, July 23rd, Orioles winning 5-2. Kevin Gausman, another rarity that we never get to say on this show, getting a win, improving at 2-7. Tomlin, the loser, at 10-3. Britton collecting his third save in a row, 32nd of the season. Sunday, July 24th, Orioles winning in walk-off fashion with a 2-run home run in the bottom of the ninth from Nolan Reimold, a pinch-hit home run by Nolan Reimold. Darren O'Day collecting the third win of the season, improving to 3-1. Allen, the loser, at 2-4.
And he kind of upped his stock a little bit with that walk-off home run, because a little bit after that game was going on, he was involved in trade rumors. I'm like, Nolan freaking Reimold involved in trade rumors, and Ubaldo Jimenez, and I'm like, what year is it, or what are people looking at right now?
Who was the famous Orioles hitting coach or pinch hitter that Earl Weaver had back in the day? Oh, yeah, Terry Crowley. Maybe Nolan Reimold is the 2010s version of Terry Crowley. Just have him pinch hit, and he can hit a home run.
It's like you're looking for these Orioles that come through in the clutch. Like, Ryan Flaherty is an awesome playoff hitter, so there's a reason why they keep him on the stock, and then there's a bunch of other pitchers that go around that actually turn it on in the playoffs. Brian Mattis not being one of them.
No, absolutely not.
And of course he's gone, so that's now out of the realms of possibility. But with everything that's been going on with this ball club, it's just fun to watch right now. I mean, they've been doing all kinds of crazy things, walk offs, and now they have it to where you have a guy that started a winning streak, ended a winning streak. He's got over 14 wins, could easily be a 20-game winner. When was the last time the Baltimore Orioles had a 20-game winner? It's been so long.
It has been quite a while. And Monday, July 25th, was certainly a night in television, as you put on Facebook. What was it? Sasha, Finn, and an Orioles win. 3-2 in the bottom of the 10th inning. Chaz Rowe getting his first win of the season, going to 1-0. Lyles, the loser, at 2-3. All because of a dropped ball by the catcher. And, of course, Adam Jones pumping the fist like, yes, I made it. I was safe.
Well, that was like that game on Sunday where it was, I think, Pedro Alvarez struck out and they muffed the throw to first base. He ended up getting on, and that allowed them to have an extra out, and that allowed them to get to Nolan Reimold, and there was the home run right there. I'm not even sure those runs even counted, since the third out should have been made. It would have been established. So that's something to look at, too. And the game was just fun all around on Sunday, and the people were just in the stands. I can't believe they battled the heat and braved it, everything that was going on. The Colorado Rockies, I think, also had like their black uniforms going on, and they didn't get the memo. Maryland is in the middle of a heat wave right now. That's one of the highest temperatures. They say it's the hottest temperatures in decades that they've had. I guess they want to sell that, just how it's been on the newscast, because it's been hotter over the last couple of years.
Yeah, you have to sell the news. I mean, for example, when Caleb Joseph had his catastrophic groin injury, that was news, and that was one of our most listened to episodes of the free-for-all.
I think that was our highest rated episode of the Baltimore Sports free-for-all when we were talking about
Caleb. All at the expense of Caleb Joseph.
When we were talking about, I was talking about Caleb Joseph taking it right into the junk. I went solo that week, and that was our highest rated episode. I'm thinking to myself, Josh Hall, who needs him? Yeah. I could do this on. I can do this on my own because I'm the one that gets all the listeners, and I'm the one that gets all the ladies, and I'm the one that gets all the pie.
Well, just one lady. Just one lady.
That this is true. Yeah. but with the Orioles and how they performed on Sunday, there's something magical about this ball club, and you want to be able to watch it because you're not sure just how much longer this club is going to stay together with everybody's contract coming up, different trade talks that are going on, buyers or sellers. I heard a rumor today that the Yankees are looking to ship off Aroldis Chapman to the Chicago Cubs.
Actually, that did happen.
That did happen. Okay, yeah. So wow, that actually did happen. So the Yankees are sellers at the trade deadline. They want to get rid of as many contracts as they can. That's something that you don't see from the New York Yankees every day. Thanks, George Steinbrenner, right?
Yeah, and Andrew Miller, believe it or not, is one of the names being discussed to be traded as well if the right prospects come along in the trade.
Hey, come on back here.
Yeah,
you were exactly. So dominant when you were with the Baltimore. How about that?
Yep, and as we look at the remaining schedule of the week, the Orioles are going to look to salvage a series win against the Colorado Rockies on Wednesday, July 27th. As Dylan Bundy will be looking to get his fourth win of the year against Gray, who's 6-4. Thursday, July 28th, the Orioles are going to be traveling up to Minnesota to take on the lowly Minnesota Twins. And, man, I feel very sorry for the fans up there just playing lackluster baseball and everything. And, by the way, it's going to be a bad starters game. Ubaldo Jimenez at 5-9 taking on Gibson, who's 3-6.
There they go. Mark your DVRs. It's going to be home run derby. Well, maybe not necessarily. The air is pretty thick up in Minnesota, and the ball doesn't really carry as well at Target Field. So that could be a go either way, topsy-turvy. Games like that never go the way you think they're going to go because the teams that you're supposed to beat, they end up beating you on paper. They are who they thought they were, and to honor the late Denny Green.
Yep, and looking to close out the weekend series, the Orioles travel up north to take on the Toronto Blue Jays, who are threatening in the AL East right now. Worley at 2-1 is going to take on Ari Dickey, who's 7-11. Yovani Gallardo will be starting the game for the Orioles on Saturday, July 30th, taking on AJ Happ, who's 13-3. And then Sunday, July 31st, will be a starters duel, pretty much an aces duel, you could say, for the Blue Jays and the Orioles, as Chris Tillman is going to look to take on Sanchez. Tillman 14-3, Sanchez 11-1. Should be fun to watch. Now, let's go on to the statistics here, the best and the worst of the Orioles offensively and pitching-wise. Your best hitter of the week, right? Caleb Joseph. Talking about a guy who we talked about at the expense of his injury, actually playing good the last five games. 7-17 with one run scored, also had a walk. 4.12 batting average, 4.44 on base percentage.
Also, you look at the success of the starters over the last couple of starts, and Caleb Joseph was playing in all four games, and he was catching these guys, and they were putting up pretty decent numbers. So is it Caleb Joseph? Is it Matt Wieters? What are we looking at here? Is there a somewhat of an effect, something to look at?
Yeah, possibly. J.J. Hardy, another Oriole hitter that's pulling his weight, going 8-21 in his last six games, scoring four runs, getting two RBIs and a double, batting .381. Dariel Alvarez in one game, of course, went 1-3 and was crucial in the Orioles' comeback win on Monday night. Of course, he got sent down because you had Ubaldo Jimenez and Darren O'Day coming back and Hyunsu Kim coming back off injury, so you can't keep everybody on the roster. Manny Machado going 7-22 in six games, batting .318, getting a home run, two RBIs. Adam Jones, .286, one home run, five RBIs in six games. And Joey Rickard going 1-4 with a .250 batting average. And then, of course, Jonathan Scope on down, batting .241 or less. But needless to say, it's not so much the batting averages, it's the clutch hits that the Orioles have been getting in their last games that have been really helping. And also going to pitching, which has been very important for the Baltimore Orioles. Really, it's hard to pick your pitcher of the week because you could pick anybody from this list. I guess you could say Kevin Gausman was probably your pitcher of the week in his last win, going seven shutout innings, getting seven strikeouts, three walks. And then, of course, you had Dylan Bundy in one game having five scoreless innings, five strikeouts, no walks. Zach Britton getting the three saves in five games, all three shutout innings right there. And Michael Givens also having a 0-0 ERA. Darren O'Day, 0-0 ERA, getting a win. And Tyler Wilson in relief also getting four shutout innings in the Tuesday loss, the recording of this podcast, against the Rockies. Now, questions before we close the show out here. Looking at the starting rotation right now, and this was a big question to close the show, and it's going to be closing out this week. Should the Orioles make the trade for Jeremy Hellickson, or are they better off with Chris Tillman, Kevin Gausman, Dylan Bundy, Yovani Gallardo, and maybe Vance Worley as your fifth starter? remember, you got to have four starters to go to the postseason. So what about those five right there? Do you think the Orioles can make it through?
Well, you need to four, as you mentioned, and yes, you want to be able to cycle in and see what you got for that fourth rotation, because number four and five, those are your big, big question marks right now. Even number three is like, what do you do about that? So it's going to be very interesting going down the road, especially with the September call-ups, who you're going to put in that coveted four spot on the playoffs.
All right, one more question. Is Chris Tolman elite?
Really?